Many times when we're praying for our missionaries, we mention the Lyons family in Hawaii. Gary and Nell and their children are here this morning. Gary, hold up your hand back here. Some of you may not have met the Lyons, and I hope after the services this morning that you will. And then you will know in a personal way this family as we pray for them and think about them in their work. The following story may very well be one that you have heard. I think I may have even told it before, but I believe it illustrates the point that I want to get across this morning. Story goes that there was a cattle farmer who decided that he would give his grandson a calf. And he told the grandson, "Now here's what we're going to do. We have an alley out here that's rather narrow, and I'm going to get up at the other end of the alley with four calves. And I'm going to let one of them loose and let it run down through the alley, and you stand at the other end, and when you see the one that you want, you reach out and grab it by the tail. But if you let one go by, then you've lost it. You can't have it." So he turned the first calf loose, and the grandson saw it coming. He noticed that it had a spot on its face. He let it go by. Second one came down the alley running, and he looked at it, and he thought, "Well, that one's very skinny. I don't believe I want it," and he let it go by. He looked, and here came the third one, and he noticed that it had short legs. He decided he didn't want that, and he let it go by. And he looked at the fourth one, and as it started coming, he noticed that it just looked like it was perfect. Head was the right size, no spots anywhere, the legs the right length. And he decided, "This is the one I want," and as it went by, he reached out to grab its tail, and it was bob-tailed. Blown opportunities. How many times do we let the things that really matter go by in life, waiting for something that may not come, and something that's not very important anyway? Thought of this when I read that passage that was read a few minutes ago there in verse 37 of Matthew 23, where Jesus was looking at Jerusalem and trying to get them to respond to him, and he said, "Ye would not." They would not take advantage of the opportunity that he offered to them. You and I talk about this a great deal. I would guess that most of us in the last week have used the words, "I wish I had." Because there are so many things that after we look back and have 20/20 hindsight that we can see that we should have done something about and didn't. And our vocabulary includes that sentence, "I wish I had," so many times. It's discouraging to see people blow their opportunities. I'm a sports fan. I like to keep up with most sports. Pete Rose was an outstanding baseball player, probably one of the greatest hustlers that ever played professional baseball. And yet he blew it by letting himself become involved in gambling. Darryl Strawberry was able to go into the major leagues at about 17 or 18 years old, very young player, could hit tremendous home runs, signed for millions of dollars, could literally make millions of dollars every year. He let himself get involved with drugs to the extent that he was banned and has been banned more than once. Earlier this year, went through cancer surgery and seemingly was recovering from that. And would you believe it, while he was waiting to get back and play for the team and again make millions of dollars, that he let himself get in drugs and soliciting again? And now there's some question about what his future is. A young man that had millions of dollars could have gone anywhere he wanted to go. And he's blown so many of his opportunities. Since I have been living in Henderson, a young man came to school at Freed Hardeman that Judy and I have known since he was just almost a baby, or at least a young child. Because of knowing his background, I know this, that most people would not know. He had an IQ that was almost at the genius level. In a family that did not have a great deal of money, his parents sacrificed in order for him to come to school at Freed Hardeman. He has left a record at Freed Hardeman of almost straight F's. because he came down here and just goofed off, wouldn't go to class, wouldn't study, and has left a debt for himself and his family that has placed a burden on them. Missed opportunities. Here's a young man that could have done anything that he wanted to. He could have become anything that he wanted to. He could have made a doctor. He could have made a lawyer. He could have made a teacher. He could have done anything that he wanted to and had an IQ probably greater than any of us in the building today. And blew his opportunities to get an education at Freed Hardeman, and at this point still does not have a college education, is a long ways from it, though he has an IQ that's almost that of a genius. It's a shame to see people blow their opportunities. But it is so easy for us to talk about the ball players and the movie stars and those people that we know and not really come and look at ourselves when we're talking about a subject like this. For just a few minutes, I'd like for us to get just a little bit more personal with ourselves. I want to suggest to you some blown opportunities that it seems to me at least are present in our time today. I'd like to address the first point, especially to those of you who have babies and young children. Many of us today are past that age where our boys and girls have left the nest and are out on their own. And I would guess that there's not a one of us who fits in that category, but who would look back today and say, I wish I had done this while I had them there at home. You parents of young children, realize the opportunity that you have. We are extremely blessed in this congregation. One of the problems that we have now is finding place for all of our kids in our Bible classes. We've had two new babies born just in the last few weeks that are now back with us, or are with us. And in addition to that, I know of 12 babies that are on the way. And usually the preacher doesn't know all the facts. And our nursery classes are just booming. We have so many children. But you know the great responsibility, the first responsibility for rearing those boys and girls is on the shoulder of you dads and mothers. And before you realize it, sometimes we say just you turn around a time or two, they'll be up and they'll be gone. You have them 24 hours a day, but how much time do you spend with them? How many of us would look back and say, I wish I had taken the time to go fishing or to do something with my son or my daughter? I wish there had been times that I had turned off the television set and had sat and just talked with my son or daughter. How many times has a little boy said, but Daddy, you promised you would go with me to my game tonight. And Dad says, but son, I've just got to be at a meeting in my business. Or my civic club is meeting tonight and I've just got to be there. How many times has a mother whose daughter says, but I'd like for you to do this with me, says, but now wait a minute, I've just got to do some church work. Blown opportunities. There is nothing that you have other than your own soul that's more important than your children. God knew that. That's why he said, fathers, bring them up. And that means start down there and come on. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Train up a child. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Timothy, you've known the scriptures since you were a child. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. How much do your children see you read the Bible and pray? How much do they see you keep your priorities straight as to what's important? And if you were to ask your boys and girls today what's most important in your life, would they say they are? One of these days, if we're not careful, we will have blown our opportunities to really teach and train our sons and daughters. And whatever else is done by the church and the school and the community, the first responsibility, and I think the first opportunity, is at the feet of dads and mothers. believe we may have some blown opportunities as we look at our regular activities and the work of a local congregation. We're admonished not to forsake the assemblies in Hebrews 10:25, but I think verse 24 may be more important when it says, let us provoke one another to love and good works. It's important for us to come together to worship God in an assembly like this. It's also important for what we get out of it to help us to meet the affairs of life day by day. A lot of effort goes into planning the activities of this congregation on a regular basis. If you count the lesson on Sunday morning, and by the way, the lesson is not the main part of the service. The entire service is to worship God, but I'm emphasizing the lesson at this point. Count the lesson this morning, lesson on Sunday evening, a lesson in Bible study, and a lesson in Wednesday night Bible study. And sometimes on Wednesday morning. But even if that's not there, on a regular basis, in the work of the church here, there are four times during the week that somebody presents a lesson into which usually has gone hours of study to be ready to present that in the right way. And there are some of you in the audience this morning who miss three-fourths of those four, and occasionally all four. You don't have time to come to a Bible class, though our elders and others put time and time and time and money and effort in to having a class for everybody at the appropriate level, and even for adults. And folks, there are subjects studied in those classes that are extremely important in helping us to be ready to defend and contend for the truth. And yet there are some of you who have blown every opportunity on every Sunday in your life to be in a Bible class. A blown opportunity. And then somebody asks you about the Bible and you don't know because you've not studied on your own or in class. There is a plan with our young people in this congregation, set up so that when a young person goes into our Bible study program and goes through it and graduates from the 12th grade, that he has studied every book in the Bible and many subjects related to that. And yet we have some young people who grow up here who never have any of that information. They're going to be going out into life on their own and they do not have any of that training. We're told probably that the first 7 years of life are most important, and I've read somewhere recently where maybe 3.5 years. In other words, what a child learns in those first 3 or 4 years, and yet we don't have time to bring our sons and daughters to Bible class and every service and be involved in the Lord's work, blown opportunities. Not only do we have so much here in Henderson on a regular basis, but look at the special opportunities that we have. Tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, our vacation Bible school. I really don't know how many hours have been put into the preparation. Gary probably comes nearer knowing than anybody else, but he doesn't really know. I don't know how many people. We've probably got close to 100 people involved in preparation for this vacation Bible school. There are going to be lessons taught, impressions made that our little boys and girls will never forget. About Moses and his relationship to God. Even an adult class will be here every night. But there are some who would rather stay at home and watch a program on television than to come to Vacation Bible School. 2 weeks from today, Tom Holland will be here to begin our gospel meeting. In my opinion, Tom Holland's one of the best gospel preachers in the brotherhood. I enjoy sitting and listening to him and can learn as much from him as about anybody that I know. We are fortunate to have him to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And now I know there will be some things that we cannot control. I know that. God knows that. But folks, look at the opportunities that we have that we blow. Almost every month there's something going on at Fried Hardeman. This next month, Christian Training Series, Horizons for our young people. And in the congregation here, our elders, and I appreciate it, have said that they will pay half the fee for any of our young people to go to Horizons or to Mid-South Camp. And we've got some people who won't take advantage of that under those circumstances. Where else can a teenager be involved in an activity with 600, 700, 800 young people from all over and yet blown opportunities? I think even just in dealing with the Christian life, sometimes that's the way it is. Jesus came to bring life and bring it more abundantly. Now, I understand that Jesus came to make it possible for us to have eternal life, and that's important. But while we're getting ready for eternal life, we can have an abundant life here. I believe that a Christian can have the fullest life of anybody, right here. The life I live in the flesh, Galatians 2:20, that's while I'm here. I can spend my entire life serving others and serving God and reaching out to do those things that are so good and so helpful and so encouraging. And yet so many of us blow an opportunity on that. I understand the Bible to teach that the 11th hour Christian can be saved. I know a few people who were Christians only a few hours before they died. And I have no reason to doubt that God has the ability to forgive one who sincerely obeys at whatever hour in life it is. But folks, isn't it a shame for a person to live 80 years outside of Christ and then just before he dies become a Christian? As far as this life is concerned, there are opportunities out there tomorrow and through this whole week to just help people and serve people. Just be a Christian. Live a Christian life. Christianity is not lived over in a monastery somewhere. It's lived out among the people. And yet, there's some of us who just won't take that step to become a Christian, or if having done that, gone astray, we'll just not get our lives straightened out and get involved to where we can live and live for Christ. And there's no conflict in those two statements. We can live and live for Christ at the same time. We just don't blow our opportunities. This idea of becoming a Christian is so important. I'm convinced that one of the greatest blessings that God offers us is the blessing of forgiveness. The reason for that is we all need forgiveness. There's not a perfect one among us. And the person who tries to bear all of his burdens of sin by himself, even if he's a pretty good person, is going to have so much on his shoulders that it's just too heavy. And yet God offers complete forgiveness. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. It's even said of that wicked person Jezebel in Revelation 2:21 that God gave her space or time to repent and she wouldn't repent. Folks, there are people in the world who've never heard about Christ. And then you look at the people that sometimes are in our midst who've heard about Christ over and over and over and over. The invitation of Jesus is extended. You're encouraged to become a Christian. And as Jesus said in Matthew 23:37, ye would not. Blown opportunity. How many times have we had opportunities to do something, maybe to purchase something at a good price, and we let the deadline go by? Oh, I let it slip. I blew my opportunity. Sometimes it's something we wish we had said to someone who's now passed away. We blew the opportunity. But there is no opportunity that we can blow that's more important than being a Christian and living the Christian life. When you and I get to the day of judgment, won't it be much better to be able to look back and say, oh, I'm glad I did, and not have to say, I wish I had? The rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus could have looked back and said, oh, I wish I had. I think that's the idea that he presents when he suggests the interest that he had in his brothers who were still living. Oh, I wish I had. All Lazarus would have had to say as he looked back is, I'm glad I did. Folks, let's not blow our opportunities. We are among some of the greatest blessed people in the world. We have some of the greatest opportunities of people in the world. And the greatest opportunity that we have is to become a Christian and live the Christian life. God wants you to be baptized into Him and into His Son. He wants you to live for Him. If you need to do that, don't blow the opportunity, but come as together we stand and sing.
Jesus waiting, waiting in the cold, He will bear you gently, gently to His fold. See Him soul and open, I implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, waiting at the door? Oft He knocketh softly, softly o'er and o'er. Hear Him, soul, and open, I implore. Why keep Jesus waiting, knocking at the door? Soon He'll cease His pleading, yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey Him, I implore.
Be seated, please. Number 179 will be the song before the Lord's Supper. 179.
King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine hail the glory be. Lest I forget Thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget Thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where Thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded Thee whilst Thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Thine agony, lest I forget